I greet each of you in the name of our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be here and worship with you again after being missing last Sunday. Last Sunday, the service in Great Lakes, Michigan, got canceled because due to ice, so we were able to start our trek home a little few hours earlier than what we were originally thinking. It's good to be back in the house of God again to worship, and it's good to be here and worship with brothers and sisters here at chapel. We have been talking about the new year. It's been made mention this morning, and my mind was thinking along that line as I was thinking of preparing a message. Our end of the year and the beginning of the year for our family has started out with some bumps, and we're grateful to be here. We'll see what the rest of the year brings. Jalen experienced a tree falling on his car from the ice storm in Michigan, and we're thankful that he wasn't injured. More than it took off his driver door handle. Jen experienced some difficulties flying to Missouri, and I got a slight burn from a propane explosion during our butchering, and it could have been a lot worse. I'm thankful that I had my winter coat on. The sleeve is melted together a little bit, and a slight burn on my hand, which will be okay in time. We're glad to be here. God looks out for us, but if I would be laying in the hospital this morning with burns, or if Jalen would be injured, it's still the same God. Still the same God. And I'm so thankful that we can trust God through life's circumstances, whether the outcome is pleasant or not so pleasant. We still serve the same God, and we can put our confidence in Him. You don't want to hear all about our life story, but it's been on my mind as I was preparing this message. The title of the message this morning is Facing the Future with confidence. Facing the future with confidence. During the little challenge we had regarding Jen's flight to Missouri, after the flight got canceled got rescheduled six times, I believe, and it was around midnight on New Year's Eve when, after waiting for 8 hours at the airport, we received the word that the flight was going to be rescheduled to fly out Saturday the next morning. So the next morning I called the American Airlines because the next morning the flight got rescheduled again to later in the morning. And I called the airline and I spoke to a gentleman who was very helpful and very compassionate. And one of the things I told him is that I have lost confidence in this flight. And he did some phone calls or whatever he did and got back to me, and he said, I feel very confident, I think that's the word he used, or something of that, that the flight will be leaving. And that was all I needed to hear. But yet, I needed to trust. And that was just a man. That was just men, and the flight did leave then. But confidence. Facing the future with confidence. At the end of the year and the beginning of another, often there are two things that happen that was brought out this morning. We reflect on the past year, and we look at the future with new resolutions and purpose. And we businesses often, you know, they count inventory and they conduct employee evaluations, which took place at the business where I work. And time is spent on reflecting on the past progress and failures, and with a desire to achieve some measure of improvement in the coming year. And you just don't do those things just to do them. You look at things. Time as we know it, keeps steadily marching on. Generations come and go. Changes happening all the time around us. Don't need to tell you that God of creation has never changed, and He is the God who created, and He is the God who sustains. Many of us are wearing some sort of corrective lenses on our face, on our head, or to correct our vision. And without clear vision, we are hesitant to move. If your vision is distorted, you're hesitant to move. Depending how bad your vision is, if you're blind, you learn new ways, of course, but you move slowly. Hesitant to move. Jesus asked Peter in Matthew chapter 14, the account of when Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water, and he saw the waves, and he began to sink. And you know the story, how Jesus reached out and took him by the hand and saved him. And then Jesus asked Peter, and he says, or he tells Peter, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now this word doubt, the definition of that word doubt is to be of two minds or to look two ways. To be of two minds or to look two ways. Now, I don't know, probably shouldn't judge you by myself, but sometimes we have doubts, don't we? We look two ways. We want to have confidence, but we look two ways. We want to have confidence, but yet we see the waves. We see the cancel, the rescheduling. We see the negative things, and we become doubtful. I thought of the song, "With my eyes fixed on Jesus, I can face another day. With my hand in my Savior, I don't need to go astray. With my heart simply trusting, there are answers when I pray. In the shelter of His arms, I want to stay." Facing the future with confidence. Just as dust covers the wheels of the chariot, so doubt covers the mind. What does it mean? Just as dust covers the wheels of the chariot, so doubt covers the mind. Doubt is often a natural response that hinders clarity in human thought and experience. Doubt is often a natural response that hinders clarity in human thought and experience. And it is something that is native to human thought. Doubt. To look two ways. It's something that we deal with. Caleb and Joshua faced a challenge in Numbers chapter 13. Bible readers know the account. They were sent along with 10 other men of Israel to spy out the land of Canaan, where God had told them He was going to give them this land, and they were to move into the land, and they were to defeat the inhabitants of the land, and they were to occupy the land. There was 12 of them, And Caleb and Joshua faced a challenge. They went with these men, and this was a land that God said would be theirs for inheritance. These 12 men all saw the same thing. I believe so anyway, according to the Bible. They all saw the same thing. They saw the giants that were in the land. And the things that were fearful. Along with that, they saw the land that flowed with milk and honey. Two said, "Fear not, for we are well able to take the land, for the Lord is with us." 10 of them said, "We be not able to go up against this people, for they be stronger than we." Now, how do you see life? How do I see life? Is this glass of water 3/4 full? Or, well, let's say it the other way, if it was half full, would the glass be half full? Or would the glass be half empty? How do you see life? You see, if I look at this and I say, the glass is half full, I could also choose to look at it and say, glass is half empty. The Bible is full of testimony of victories being won, not by the impressiveness of huge armies of horses and chariots, but by simple faith and trust in the power of Almighty God. The Bible is full of it. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15 is this verse. And it was a plea to rebellious children of Judah to return to God and not to go down to Egypt for help, but to return to God and to trust in Him fully. And it says this in Isaiah 30 and verse 15, "In returning and rest shall be, ye shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." But the phrase, "in quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Yesterday, my wife and I and some of the children, we went to visit my widowed aunt. And she lost her husband a few months ago. And not long after that, she was told that her cancer is back and she only has, in man's terms, months to live. And my cousin was around and he was staying there and he messaged me and said, "Hey, you should come visit." I said, "You know what? We should." So we did. We came and went yesterday to visit her. And as I was sitting there in the living room, I saw this motto on the wall. And that was the verse that was attached to the bottom of this picture. And the picture was a scene of a water garden that you would have beside your house. Or it was a nice still water garden with flowers and greens bending over it. And there was sort of like a pasture on the side of the hill. And there were trees there and they were just It was just a very peaceful scene. And at the bottom it said, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." I was sitting there and I noticed it. And I was thinking of the message, and I jotted the verse down, and I told her, I said, "I like your picture." And she was happy to tell me about the picture. She said, "Yeah," she said, I like that scene." And she got someone else to put the words underneath it. But I thought about that. Here's a woman sitting in her rocking chair with only months to live, according to man's terminology. And I could tell with a solidness and a deepness of spirit, she trusted those words. "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." The burden of this message for you and me is to reach out in confidence, embracing God's revealed will for you, while maintaining a life of consecration to Him that refines your thought and conduct. I'll give it again. Reach out in confidence, embracing God's revealed will for you, while maintaining a life of consecration to Him that refines your thought and conduct. Many a person has failed to experience a blessing because they allowed fear to control their actions. And just a few questions, as I was sitting and as I was studying, these questions came to me in my own experience. I'd like you to think about them deeply in your life. But are you experiencing joy in your life? Do you have joy? Are you joyful? Another one is the grace of God evident in your life, in my life? The grace of God, what is that? Well, the grace of God, is it evident in your life? Is God working in your life where you can see that God is working? And as you reflect, you can see, yes, God is working. I am open to the grace of God in my life. He is working in my life and He is refining me. Perhaps it's better if we ask somebody else about it. Are you living above the bondage of the flesh? And are you a witness for Christ in everyday living? A witness for Him in everyday life. Now, what brought me to this, as I was thinking about preparing a message, I would like you to turn for me for some text verses to Joshua chapter 14. And this, I alluded to Caleb earlier. Joshua chapter 14. And I alluded to the 10 spies going into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And I was inspired, and this is a familiar story, but I was inspired again of Caleb's desire and confidence and resolve. In Joshua chapter 14, I'd like to read verses 6 to 15. Notice Caleb. He's 85 years old, I believe. He was 40 years old when they went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And then you know the story, you know what happened. God said, "You know what? Because you didn't trust me to go into Canaan, you're going to stay in the wilderness." However, Caleb and Joshua did not perish in the wilderness. And Caleb saw 40 years of death. Let's read Joshua 14, verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the Lord, the land whereon thy feet have trodden, shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Facing the future with confidence. I'd like to look at four, maybe it is five. Four, foundations of confidence. Confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. It is firm trust. Confidence is broken when trust is broken. One will not be confident if he does not trust. Can you trust God? Yes, you can trust God. Even in the good and the bad. Was it Steve East that I hear you say that his phrase was often, God is good? God is good. God is good. Foundations of confidence. These are very simple, but number one is believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. And there are promises in the scripture for the children of God. And I'm sorry, well, if you're not a child of God, the promises are not for you. But they are for you if you are God's child. And it's important for us to face the future with confidence, to believe the word of God. To believe that God says what he says is true. Numbers 14:24. I'm not going to turn there, but it tells us this. God is saying, he said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Lauren talked this morning about a new spirit. And here it is again, because he had a new spirit in him. The new spirit believes the word of God. The promises of God are realities for those who choose to live in obedience. The promise of God. Caleb believed God. Joshua 14 and verses 9 to 12, it tells us he believed God. Paul says in Acts 27:25, when he was in the midst of shipwreck, he tells his companions that were with him, he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. Take God at his word, and that doesn't only mean in the good things. It also means take God at his word. That also means that the soul that sins, there's consequences for it. It means the soul that obeys, the person who obeys, there's promises for them. We believe God. Number two, foundations for confidence. Number two, understand that mountains are not conquered by absence of danger, but through wholehearted trust in God. And maybe this is closely related, but understand that mountains are not conquered by absence of danger, but through wholehearted trust in God. The truth was that the children of Anakim were there in the mountain. That was the truth. And these men were big men. They were large men. They were unusually tall and powerful. The truth was that those people were there. One commentator that I was looking at and reading said the Anakim are an illustration of inward sins and outward temptations in our lives. Hebrews, I believe it is, tells us about the sins that do so easily betake us, running with patience the race. Brother Jim, I believe, spoke about something last Sunday. Proverbs 23:5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Sometimes we get the idea that the Christian life and new Christians, I like to counsel them that, you know, the Christian life is not just all easy. There are struggles. Number three, facing the future with confidence. Be actively available for the Lord's service. How does that fit? Be actively available for the Lord's service. Facing the future with confidence. Now therefore give me this mountain, Caleb said, actively available. Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Hebrews 10:22 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Keep the fear of failure in check. Humbly serve and embrace the gifts God has given you. Be actively available for the Lord's service. Number four, confidence results from reflection and commitment. Confidence results from reflection and commitment. Jacob expressed his commitment. His resolve had not changed. Caleb expressed his commitment. His resolve had not changed after 40 years of seeing death. Even after living 40 years with death happening all around him, he understood and believed his life was sustained by God for a purpose. He desired to possess the mountain of which God had promised. David is another example of reflection that encouraged him. 1 Samuel 17, the account of David and Goliath, David was willing to be involved, and he faced the battle with confidence in the power of God. Gideon was one who struggled and needed reassurance that God was with him. But God had a work for Gideon to do, but Gideon needed time to develop confidence. Needed time to develop confidence. What are some hindrances to confidence, to facing the future with confidence? A few of those. Number one, a negative focus will hinder the work of grace in my life and will have an effect on those around me. A negative focus will hinder the work of grace in my life and will have an effect of those around me. 10 spies influenced a nation. They had an evil report. Number two, if we allow fear to override faith, and I don't know where these things all come out in your life. I don't know. I only know a small part, and I know my life. But to allow fear to override faith, what are some of those? Some of those in my life, thinking of my life, is the fear of failure. I struggle with, I might struggle with confidence because I fear that I'm going to fail. So it's rather not start, because if you're going to fail, don't start. The fear of failure. There can be the fear of embarrassment. There can be the fear of unknown, just that unknown. It could be the fear of conflict. Fear of conflict. And we'll notice some more things here towards the end. These are hindrances to confidence. Number three, failing to trust in the sovereign power of God. The first step in finding peace and joy is in casting our care upon the Lord, 1 Peter 3:7. I have been encouraged by individuals who are examples of trust, even in the presence of larger-than-life situations. And I do not want to ever lose my trust in God, even when I do not understand. And number four, hindrances to confidence. Refusing to hear the counsel of truth is a hindrance to confidence. It's a hindrance to inhabiting the mountain that is before you, refusing to hear the counsel of truth. Sometimes during employee evaluations, there are things that need to be addressed and talked about. They may be areas of personal time management that are weak. It might be interpersonal relationship struggles. It might be struggles with productivity or job knowledge, or et cetera, et cetera. But there are things that need to be talked about. If we had a church membership evaluation, if God would give us an evaluation, and we'd be evaluated on our performance this past year, a victory, interpersonal relationships, prayer life, Bible reading, evangelism, sharing with others. Well, let's see, he did do that, didn't he, in Matthew? The list of things that he said that they did, and they said, when did we do these things? But how would it be? How would your evaluation be? How would you be graded? Those who hear the counsel of truth with an open mind will often improve in their productivity because they care. And confidence can be built when I am willing to hear the counsel of truth. Number five, a hindrance to confidence is blaming others while excusing personal responsibility for my shortcomings. Blaming others while excusing personal responsibility for my shortcomings. Caleb could have resorted to self-pity or bitterness. After all, it was not his fault that he needed to wait 40 years for his inheritance. Some individuals get all bent out of shape for a lot lesser things. You could think of Adam. You could think of Haman. You could think of Saul. You could think of Ahab. Individuals who blamed others for their shortcomings. It's a little note I came across in my study. A short course in human relations. The 6 most important words. I admit I made a mistake. The 5 most important words. You did a good job. The 4 most important words. What is your opinion? The 3 most important words. If you please. The 2 most important words. Thank you. The 1 most important word. We. And the least most important word, and you can probably guess it, is I. That's the least most important word. Well, maybe I should have looked at this at the beginning, but what are some mountains that we may face? What are some things that God would have us to possess and to embrace a victory over? Five of them. Accepting what I did not choose. Accepting what I did not choose. Relating with Christ-like responses to challenging relationships. We have them. Seeking to discern God's will for me. We have them. We have that. Young people, older people, we all of us, seeking to discern God's will for us. 4, standing firm in the presence of wolves. Standing firm in the presence of wolves, and those wolves are all around us. We must stand firm. 5, allowing others to speak truth to me that results in refinement of my character. One of my burdens, I'll share with you, is that I think the Bible teaches us, as I understand it, that in the latter days, there's going to be offenses. People become offended. And I think, and maybe it's just me, but it seems like we're living in an era where people become offended so easily. So easily. That's a whole subject in itself. But allowing others to speak truth to me that results in refinement of my character, we need it. We need it. Facing the future with confidence. I'd like to conclude here. Song number 463, you can look that up in the Christian hymnal sometime. I'm not going to look at it. But it's a song of trust your hand into His. Give your all unto Him. Let Him lead you all the way. Trust your hand into His. I like those verses. That song. There might be some joy or sorrow around the bend. Lies there to wrap your soul. And just trust your hand into His. In the coming year and in the coming days, purpose in your heart to choose faith over fear, to choose forgiveness over bitterness, to choose compassion over criticism, to choose love over hate, to choose patience over rashness, to choose long-suffering over impulsive anger, to choose prayer over anxiety, to choose victory over failure, to choose God over self, and the list could go on and on. That's my prayer for you. And the prayer for myself as we go into, as we move through 2026. Lord willing, if the Lord tarries, We will be another year, we'll be here again. Will we all be here gathered together like we are this morning? God only knows. But we can trust God. You see, Caleb had another spirit in him. And let us be diligent in nurturing the new spirit within. Let us kneel to pray. God in heaven, we bow our knees before you. The close of this service, thank you for the privilege again to worship. Thank you for each dear soul that's gathered in here this morning. Pray your blessing upon them, upon their lives and their purpose for you. Father, help us as a congregation to understand your will for our lives and to be a testimony of your power. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the victories won and the power to live above sin. Lord, we think of the much turmoil and distress that abounds all around. Love of many waxing cold. And we sense the tendencies in our own heart to be drawn away into the allurements of the fancies of the world. Father, refine us and show us your way and cleanse our hearts from secret sins and renew a right spirit within us. Father, help us to face the mountains ahead with confidence, with strength in you, knowing that you can be trusted. Father, we pray your blessing upon those that may face special struggles and challenges. You know them better than we do ourselves, and we lift them up to you. We ask that you would bless the remainder of our days. Help us to be a blessing to others and of service to you. In Jesus' name, amen.